It's time for Cofield and Company.
Hands it off, left circle, McNabb. Dorothy of one-timer, blocked, rattles around, score! Shot attempt blocked. Amadio almost got to the loose puck. Now he does, skates it on the right. Amadio, score! Fire down from Mike Amadio! 5 seconds to go. Puck comes loose, the crowd comes to its feet, and we'll have Flamingos. Knights 3, Hawks 1, Vegas defeats Chicago in game 81.
It's Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company. Damon is here. The company is Adam Hill. Findlay Toyota Studios on a Wednesday. Busy week on the way as we'll be out at Circle Las Vegas tomorrow at Stadium Swim, Treasure Island on Friday. That's our official Friday home. Much to get into, especially with the NBA. You hear VGK action there. I know someone in the room was rooting for a certain matchup with VGK. We'll get into that in about 15 minutes. Man, there's a lot going on right now. A lot more Caitlin Clark. That's coming up in the 4 and 5 hour. NFL draft, of course. But I will start out with what's happening in the NBA. What's the bigger story, that the Lakers advanced or that the Warriors are done?
I think it's the Warriors are done.
Okay.
Especially how it happened with Klay Thompson potentially in his final game just completely laying an egg. And, you know, a competitive first half that just completely got away from them, and then they seem to just kind of shut it down. I think that's a pretty big story.
Yeah. Why do you think they failed in the game?
Klay Thompson.
Aside from Klay Thompson.
It's Klay Thompson. I mean, I think
I saw a lot of Steph misses. I thought the defense was horrendous. And I will say Klay Thompson, maybe that was an off game, but he didn't look like he could defend anymore. He got taken off the dribble so many friggin' times.
Yeah, no question. And I thought that was a big one, and I thought the youth of Sacramento really showed up at the end of a long season. They had, you know, young team, the energy of the crowd. It just felt like at some point when the momentum got going in the third quarter, it just wasn't going to stop.
Tonight's games, we got Philly and Miami going at it. There's a lot of storylines on that one. I want to get back to the Warriors here in a second. Then we've got Chicago and Atlanta, which we'll join in progress in the – check that. We'll join the pregame tip at 6:30. But Miami and Philly go at it in 55 minutes. Are we getting the real Philly? Can we trust that Embiid is 100%? Because when Philly had Embiid, this is a weird 7 seed, is it not?
Yeah.
When Embiid was playing for them, they were 31-8. They're the 7 seed, and obviously Miami is a proud tradition, and they like to crow about it. What's their whole saying? Culture? Heat culture? Right?
Heat culture.
Yeah, heat culture.
It's on their jerseys.
You don't expect these teams to have to be playing into the playoffs, but that's a situation. What do we expect from Philly?
When Embiid has been there, they've been fine.
Damon, what do you expect from Philly? They've been more than fine. They're 31-8.
Yeah.
They've been good, but I think the Heat actually take this one. I'm a believer in Heat culture.
Heat culture?
I'm a believer in Heat culture. Yeah, but I think that Bam Adebayo, I think I saw the stat that Joel Embiid the past two games, you know, he basically take the under. It's at 30.5 because Bam Adebayo, he's actually good at defending Joel Embiid. And Terry Rozier, I think that he's going to come along. The Heat roster, I just like the players that they have, and I'm a believer in playoff Jimmy. It's a real thing.
Aren't the Heat just the Warriors of the East?
What do you mean by that?
Kind of past their prime a little bit. A little like, okay, they had some success. We all think we see their names. We're like, oh, these guys are good, but they're really just not anymore.
Do we know if Joel Embiid's really 100%?
Well, that was my question coming out. Does it matter that they went 31-8 during the regular season when he played? Like, where is he right now?
He's there. That matters.
That's all we can predict, really.
That matters. Well, yeah, how long will he be there? I mean, look, we kind of said the same thing about Zion, right? Like, well, he's there. When he's there, he plays really well, and they're good. Now he's not there anymore. didn't last long yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's good enough to get them through, and I do think they'll get by.
All right. Chicago and Atlanta. By the way, let me stop for 1 second, too. Does this also have the feeling that what – I haven't seen look-ahead odds. Do we have them anywhere? Let's look them up. The Knicks is the 2. They're going to be favored against, say, the Sixers?
Not with Embiid.
Just – oh, really? I was going to say slight favored because of home court?
No, I don't think. I think with Embiid, they're going to be favored, especially if he looks good. Like if he looks like he is playing at a high level and they can win and get a couple days off, I think they would be a slight favorite in that series. It'll be close though. Knicks are really good when they're healthy. Also have injury concerns, so at full strength, I think they'd be healthy. They'd be favored, but I think the Sixers would.
I wonder if the Knicks care about getting punked by two of the bigger NBA voices out there, Shaq and Barkley. Which, by the way, we'll have an update on K-Perk saying that both of them don't watch basketball. Which I kind of like because I agree with it.
Well, we know they watch internet videos.
Yeah. They responded, but like children, wouldn't say his name. Wouldn't, I guess in their minds, wouldn't punch down. So I'll just tell you, when someone comes at you, right, and takes shots instead of backing their argument, then they got stung by the criticism. Like, I was just watching one of our local reps who apparently thought it was smart to go up and try to go after the A's fans. So, Danielle Gallant.
Yeah.
And, whew.
It's been so bad.
That's one of our reps.
Yeah.
And she came right out, and instead of really arguing the case as to why the A's are a good investment, it was California sucks. So, yeah. And by the way, she's a Californian who relocated here.
Yeah.
So, but when you're... When you know that criticism is kind of digging into and you're like, then you take shots.
Well, the funny
which happens oftentimes on this show, right? You get in a position, you try to fight out of the corner, and then there's some cheap shots thrown in there.
Well, but the best part of it was that she, like, one of her first comments, because somebody came right at her with, like, what about this, though? Like, this doesn't add up to support your argument. She's like, once you start changing the argument, you know you've lost. And then she started changing the arguments.
I mean, we'll get into it more because we'll do it tomorrow probably. Or we'll invite her on, which I don't think she wants to do. I don't think even 5 minutes would be a good thing. So, but I am, you know what, I'm coming in here and I'm ready to take this stance and you can fire back if you want. I don't know, man. That game last night for the Warriors was absolutely unnecessary. Should not have happened. 100% shouldn't have happened. And it should factor into a decision of what the franchise is going to do with its roster. It's not just this guy's fault, but I just gave you Embiid when healthy with the Sixers. Philly was 31-8. When not suspended, Draymond Green added to the Golden State Warriors. They were 22-11. When he was out, they were 10-11. A lot of this rests at his feet. You're a child. You're not a professional. How dare you not do your job, not stay composed, and help, in this case, the Warriors into the stupid play-in game? They should have never been in this situation had he showed a little bit of discipline and been a professional and not do fronting, spinning front fist and choke holds. And, well, it doesn't matter in that game because they got the job done in that game. But, you know, the stupidity of getting tossed in a key game 4 minutes in. Because you have to get two technicals in 15 seconds. But, hey, you're the longtime Dubs fan, so yeah. If you want to stick with this guy and that lack of discipline and you want to make the playoffs by a razor's edge instead of being the 4, 5, or 6 seed, go ahead.
No, I think it's very clear how badly they need him. Like, I think that was demonstrated. Obviously they do, and when he's not on the court,
Why is he worth $30 million plus if he's not disciplined enough to make sure that he's on the floor?
Yeah, I think he gets it that he has to be there for the playoffs, and he probably shouldn't have been in this position.
It's not probably.
They have to do that.
It's not a probably.
Yeah, they need him. They need him.
Okay.
They need him.
Good. Well, I'll wait for the podcast where he says, man, I screwed up. And what does it mean? Nothing. Because he says that all the time. And if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm pissed.
Yeah, and I'm sure
in his mind.
$30 million
on him. And we can get to Clay, but if you know you already did. But if we're if you as an organization, you're gonna spend $30+ million on him, you got to get basically a full season out of him. That's what you're paid for. And injuries are one thing. I'm not gonna get on people for being injured. But when you take yourself out of the game because you're an emotional jackass, that's on you.
Yeah, and I'm sure in his mind, what he said is what he proved is that he's worth even more than he makes because
he's not.
Because when he's there, they win.
He's not. He plays 33 games.
Right.
He's not. That doesn't get you to the playoffs. 22 wins is not the playoffs.
Right, but I'm saying what he'll say in his mind, see?
And my response will be, with probably a helmet on and a face mask, you played 33 games. You're great. We pay you to be great.
Yeah.
Why can't you be disciplined?
Again, I think that's the fair argument, and his argument would be the
I don't care what his argument is. There is no argument back.
Oh, but you said what he's going to say on his podcast. I'm sure that's what he's going to say.
That's childish. That's why he is who he is. He doesn't get it. He keeps saying he gets it. By the way, did anyone notice? I know you guys don't watch commercials. Remember I pointed out about a month ago that stupid AT&T commercial that he did where he's filming himself like he's doing a selfie, and he's like, well, I get it, and then this happens, and then things change. And then, you know what? That stopped running. One, the commercial sucked. I wonder if the Warriors and they got enough feedback were like, this commercial's stupid. You're basically embracing his crap behavior. I'm more angry about the Warriors being out because I wanted to see him in the playoffs than you are, the Dubs fan. And by the way, at the end of the game, did you kind of see the vibes?
Klay knew it was over.
He's kind of laughing on the bench. A lot of hugs. A lot of nice chatter after the game. Great.
I kind
of
was.
So it's probably over, guys. One of you is going.
I kind of felt that because
it in the back.
Somebody had reached out before the game and said that Klay wasn't really talking about the game. He was talking about his next stop. And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. That's not good.
What's next before the
game? Before the game.
He's gone. I mean, that was an experiment that didn't work. He makes a lot of money. You know, well, I mean, that's the other thing, too, is anyone. I mean, can anyone get mad at Joe Lacob? The amount of luxury tax he has paid for this? Because it's not only Draymond's salary, and the Chris Paul thing is just a failed experiment. But it's not only the Draymond salary, and you get half production, not even. It's what it does to you on the luxury. I mean, this guy, I'm not going to say he can't afford it, but.
Yeah, he's very wealthy.
But if you make the max effort to win, you reward all the players, you got to be around. And a freaking play-in game is just absurd for that organization.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But it's all. It's not just them. Like you see, and you said it's injuries. It's like you look around and you feel like most of the teams that are in the play-in should not have been in the play-in. A lot of them are like, that's.
Did anyone.
What is Cruz in?
Did anyone spin a front fist into someone's face? Did anyone try to choke Rudy Gobert?
No. I'm just saying. It seems like we look around the league and we're like, why are these teams in the play-in?
But you're putting together because most of them are in there because of some sort of injury.
Yeah, but I felt with Lakers was we'll just be fine, and then we'll get in the play-in.
They won, though. They won. You're right.
Now they're going to get crushed by the Nuggets, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
I'll go over the 5.5 games. I think it's going to be a competitive series.
The Nuggets are winning the series.
I just said I think it's going to be a competitive series. I think
the Nuggets are going to win the series.
So you're laying down the, 350?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, I'll bet it.
That was a half-hearted yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go bet it.
All right.
I don't really make NBA bets, but I'll go put that down. That seems low. That seems like good value.
I'll book the bet.
I'll do it. I have accounts. I'll do it.
All right.
Let's book it on the show. Book it on the show.
Go find the best number.
The series number is -350. The over-under is 5.5. So you think it's going to be shorter than 5.5, and it'll be a pretty easy series for the Nuggets?
I think they'll win. Probably win in 6, but they could win in 5.
So you're betting over?
Well, 5 or probably. 6. It's probably the right number.
We're coming out on fire.
Yeah, it's probably the right number.
Take the under.
So you're betting the under?
I'll book bets at 5.5. I think 5.5 is the right number here.
But it can't land on 5.5.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. It's a good number. Why would you bet it?
Okay, there you go. So you won't bet. Yeah. So your confidence is not
I'm betting the Nuggets.
You're betting the series.
Yeah.
Okay. Up next, we'll get into VGK looking like it's staring down the barrel at a series with Edmonton. But before that, we got another big event here in town on Saturday at the MUA, Mick Ultra Arena. LasVegasDesertDogs.com is where you get tickets. LasVegasDesertDogs.com is where you can get the tickets. Finale for the dogs, 4-pack of tickets right now. It's also a pediatric cancer night where the proceeds will go to help fight childhood cancer. 364-1100, 364-1100. The Desert Dogs, final game of the season at Mick Ultra Arena. Las Vegas DesertDogs.com. Caller 7-364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Come on, Cofield, Adam Hill. Just gave away our Las Vegas Desert Dogs tickets for this Saturday. We'll have another 4-pack in the 5 o'clock hour. All right. How did last night's game go for VGK?
wasn't their best performance. I thought there was definitely stretches in the first period and about midway through the second period where you just kind of looked and said there's just no life and no energy, which probably makes sense since they've already clinched a playoff spot. They've been, you know, fighting for a month and a half to make sure they got enough points to make sure they're in the playoffs, and now they're in. And they can move around seeding and move up and down a little bit, but for the most part, they know they're going to be on the road in the first round, and they don't really care who they're going to play. So I thought a little bit of that was just, you know, what does it really matter? But they did play pretty solid defensively. They didn't let a whole lot get to the net, and I think that was a big key for them. And after the game, that's one of the things that a lot of the players said was, look, we weren't great, but structurally we stayed sound. We didn't let that get away from us. We didn't let them take a lead when we weren't playing well. And then we found a way to take a lead and then add to it and found a way to win. And that's kind of an important lesson to take going into the playoffs. But I don't think anybody's going to, you know, try to put that in the museum or anything and look at that as the ultimate effort that they want to have in a game. I think it was just more, hey, job done, move on, one more game, see where you're going to go.
And this sets up what?
They got a...
Move past the Kings, right?
Yeah, they're ahead of the Kings now. There's still a couple different... I think Vancouver plays tonight. I have to go look again. And if they get a point, then they clinch the division, so the Knights couldn't play them. Or it's the other way around. If the Stars get a point, they clinch their division. The Knights couldn't play them. But if the Knights win tomorrow, they will play at Edmonton in the first round of the playoffs. If they lose and the Kings win, and the Knights would have to win in regulation, or excuse me. Sort of, if the Knights win, they're playing Edmonton. That's the bottom line, and they should win.
Vancouver, Winnipeg's tomorrow. Blues are hosting tonight.
Yeah, bottom line is
They're at Dallas. So, Blues and Dallas. Dallas is the home team.
Dallas needs a point there to clinch home ice throughout in the Western Conference. Bottom line is if the Knights win, they're playing Edmonton, and they most likely will win. They're playing Anaheim tomorrow at home. If they lose, they do open the door potentially to playing Dallas instead. But for the most part, they're probably going to play at Edmonton. The Kings have one game left as well. The Knights could pass Nashville, but if they pass Nashville, that means they'll also pass the Kings. That means they'll get into third place. So not a whole lot of possibilities. There is an outside shot that it's Vancouver, but most likely Edmonton and then a possibility of Dallas.
Slump buster last night?
Yeah, Michael Amadio he'd been scratched a couple times. He hadn't scored in a while. He switched up to tape. He said did a whole new tape job, and that morning skate, the guys were kind of giving it to him a little bit, like, changing it up, looking for some magic, huh? And then turned out he scored. And if you looked on the bench, everybody kind of went nuts.
Yeah.
When he scored, it was like, why is everybody going nuts? It's because he had changed up the tape on his stick, and so they're kind of saying, hey, it worked. So just one of those little, you know, funny moments between teammates, and I'm sure that'll give him a little bit of confidence going forward. And there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made. If Mark Stone is back for the playoffs, there's going to be guys that are sitting that thought they're going to be in the lineup. And so it's a good problem to have, a ton of healthy bodies, but nobody's been ruled out yet for the first series of the playoffs.
We all think Aiden Hill is going to get the start in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, yesterday after the game, Bruce Cassidy said that Aiden Hill will start Thursday, so he'll start tomorrow. That would give each of them one start in the final two games, and we'll go into the playoffs trying to figure out, you know, who that guy is going to be. I think Aiden Hill, because of what he did last year, because of how he fits the system, a lot of things we talked about earlier in the week, I think has a slight edge. But, you know, if he was to get blown up and they look back and say, well, Aiden Thompson's had a couple of better games lately, they could go that direction. But I think it's a decision that has not fully been made, but I do think they're probably leaning in the direction of Aiden Hill.
Around the NHL, we never hit on the fact that the NHL kind of snuck through this move. I'm sure owners knew about it, but they snuck through the Phoenix to Salt Lake move. I feel like in the NFL, territorial rights mean something. I feel like in Major League Baseball, territorial rights mean something. When an owner has a territory that the NHL is like, hey, that's yours. I know I read a Scripps release where it was talking about Bill Foley last year and the Salt Lake territory for television. What just happened to his rights? Has anyone asked about that?
No.
Does he get money?
It'd be interesting to find out. I mean, it happened so quickly. I think that there's probably some negotiations behind the scenes or some talk behind the scenes, but happened fast.
I mean, he built that. That was his whole deal by design, was to kind of go north through Reno, and then Salt Lake was part of that mix. The league got $1.3 billion, or is expected to get $1.2 to $1.3 billion from this new Salt Lake owner. A billion's going to the Yotes owner, Marullo. And then there's $200 to $300 million in a relocation fee. I mean, if you're Foley, you're like, nah, I'm not taking an even share. That was my territory. Yeah, now I'm mine. Shut out of that market.
Yeah, that's mine.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Work on that for us.
Sure.
It's a good column. But by the way, we will get to one of your columns. I think I put it in the rundown. I wanted to talk about one of your columns. So, DeMond, what do you think the team name should be for Utah? By the way, I feel like this is like worth a conversation when we talk about NHL. Like, it's almost been kind of buried. Like, a freaking franchise moved. A new market's getting a team. It will not be the Yotes. So what should it be?
I'm trying to think of something that could be cool and still represent Utah, but they really have no culture.
That is not true. That is not true. We know what the main culture is, but they have other culture.
I can't think of it.
They are the Beehive State. Adam, do we like bees as a subject for a nickname? No, they already have the Salt Lake Bees, but do we like bees as something to build around for, like, the Hive?
Well, no, because Beehive has nothing to do with bees, right? So we learned that.
Well, it's the Beehive State.
Right, but that doesn't mean bees.
Wait, what?
Beehive State has nothing to do with bees.
So why are they?
What does it mean then?
It's something about like the family togetherness and like all working together.
Culture.
But what's everyone going to assume? The logo is going to have to be a bee.
By the way, I could be totally wrong.
I love how you're so confident.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Stingers. Utah Stingers.
All right. Why is it Utah? Can it be Salt Lake?
I think that's a very good question. How about the Salt Lake Swarm?
I like that.
What do we like better?
Swarm.
No, Utah or Salt Lake?
Salt Lake. They need something of their own.
I don't think that's going to be allowed. I think it'll rep the whole state.
JVT just texted. Wait, Salt Lake City Sting.
Sting? Swarm?
So, comboing.
Okay. I like the idea of going with, just because like they have the Jazz, of a music that they don't have there.
All right. Like, ooh, the Salt Lake City Trap?
But you've had a day to come up with it. You haven't come up with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Salt Lake Trap?
Yeah, what is Salt that? Lake Trap. Trap music. That's a form of rap music.
Does that have anything to do with the state of Utah or something?
No, but no, Jazz saying, doesn't either.
No, that was whole
jazz, the Jazz has nothing to do with Utah. So let's name another music that has nothing to do with Utah.
You go down the path of hip-hop culture. Can't even say it. Hip-hop culture
the Salt Lake,
in,
the Salt Lake
in
Reggae?
Utah? That does not. That is probably the. That is not a match.
Reggae
doesn't,
boys.
Doesn't feel like it.
There's a lot of possibilities.
We'll come up with some names. I actually think, describe that again. How'd you come up? What were you saying? Change it. So counter the Jazz.
Yeah, with another form of music that they don't have there.
Okay. They can't go with a music theme for the hockey team as well.
Yeah. What? Let's stick to the theme of the city.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a UtahYeti.com.
Ooh.
It's been registered.
Recently?
Yes, purchased over the weekend.
By you?
No. UtahYeti.com. We'll investigate this because I know where Adam's going to want to go here. Well, a couple of spaces. This is a mythical beast. And really, in the end, does it have anything to do with Utah?
The Texas Rangers and the Atlanta Braves, two teams that are looking to play again in October for all the marbles. But before we talk about World Series matchups, we need to stay focused on the month of April. So let's talk about April baseball in Atlanta, as the Braves will host the aforementioned Rangers for some baseball in Georgia. Listen in Sunday with pregame at 3 and first pitch just after 4 on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM.
Treasure Island has the best food and entertainment this city has to offer. The resort offers a variety of dining options, including the Las Vegas Yacht Club, their newest restaurant. There, you can enjoy market fresh catches and delectable seafood options. If you're looking for a more casual atmosphere, check out the Golden Circle Sportsbook. This bar is combined with a sportsbook and is the perfect place to pregame, after the game, and stay for the game with a great mini bar menu and 20 high-definition plasmas. You won't miss a moment of the action. Come visit Treasure Island and experience all they have to offer.
Finley Chevrolet is Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealership. Again, find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Finley Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
Finley Chevrolet has new extended weekday service, parts, and sales hours from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Finley Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
There's a new men's apparel brand in Vegas. You should check them out. They're called Hammermade, and you won't find a better looking, more sophisticated shirt. The attention to detail makes every Hammermade shirt special. They're European made and are individually numbered like a work of art. And now it's time to let Hammermade outfit you for the spring. It's the Viva La Spring promotion. Save up to $50 on the newest styles or win a Hammermade shirt. Check them out at the Forum Shops at Caesars Palace or at Hammermade.com. Don't just wear a shirt, wear a Hammermade.
Your Las Vegas Aviators will be taking on those pesky Tacoma Rainiers starting Tuesday, April 16th. And there's a home run of fun at every single game. Tuesday the 16th, celebrate Jackie Robinson Day with your Aviators. Wednesday the 17th, it's Bark on the Berm and Dogs Are Free. Thursday the 18th, it's $2 Beer Night. And Friday the 19th, it's Finn the Bat Dog Jersey Giveaway Night. Aviators Baseball. Easy access, free parking, great food, good times, and plenty of baseball. Life's just better at Las Vegas Ballpark.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Okay, Utah Yaks. 364-1100, that's our text number. 364-1100, the Yaks up on the text line. Well, we got to follow up on the whole Yeti thing for the Utah hockey team. So I'm sure Adam has a lot of questions. We'll hit that in the 5 o'clock hour. Adam, you did a good column the other day.
Not a lot of people felt that way.
I'm not going to talk about the top of the column, the start. I will talk about the back end of the column, and that was the story on Mark Coleman.
Yeah.
So Mark Coleman, former UFC fighter, heavyweight, was a pride guy as well, former wrestler at Ohio State. I always found him to be a cool guy, you know, down to earth, kind of a, you know, he's the definition of like a big lug, the big galoot. Saved his family from a fire.
Yeah.
Went in, got really messed up.
Yeah, saved his mom and his dad, but couldn't save the dog when he tried to go back in. His dog Hammer was there, so the dog perished in the fire. And Mark Coleman nearly did as well. He was left unconscious. He was dragged out, was unconscious in the hospital, and fighting for his life for a few days, and was able to make it out. And he came to the fight. He actually. Was both fighters from the BMF title fight requested that if they win, he put the belt on them. And so that request was granted. And so he was able to do that. And I've never seen anybody that is a cool honor. I'm not diminishing that. I've never seen somebody that emotional and that excited about something like that's a gesture like that.
Yeah.
Because it was just like the realization of, oh, my God, like I'm alive and I'm being honored and this sport that I dedicated my life to. And Mark Coleman's had a lot of issues that he's tried to get through the last couple of years. And just the kind of that realization of, you know, doing something and surviving and saving his family and now being not really honored for it. He didn't like that word. He just said, you know, just having these opportunities.
Come on, it's from a generation before these guys, a couple generations before the current male and female MMA stars. Do you know... Have you ever had an encounter with Mark Coleman?
Not before Saturday, but I did know of him because he was still around up until last decade. I want to say 2010 was the last time he was in the UFC. So he was still someone for me, like even playing the UFC video game where I knew who Mark Coleman was and still being a fan of Pride to go back and watch some of those old fights.
Yeah.
But no, seeing him in person and then like when he was talking to us as the media before he went out and presented the BMF title, it was pretty cool.
His name came up for me. I don't know if we talked about this on the air because I think it was the most iconic photographed moment caught in MMA history. His name came up for me when that story was examined, and it stretched out over like 3 months. Thomas and Mack anniversary. And Pride fought two cards at Thomas and Mack. One of them, I think, was Pride 32. And Mark Coleman just got slaughtered by Fedor. He tried, but he got bloodied and battered. And his girls, who at the time were, what, like maybe 4 and 6, 5 and 7, they're in the ring with him, and they're crying. And he's like the dejected athlete. It was like the MMA version. Okay, I'm going to go way back. It's the MMA version of, if anyone remembers, Y.A. Tittle after a football game where he's on his knees in the end zone. They lost, and it's just like, the loss is all over his face in, like, mud and sweat. Like, holy crap, that's awesome. That was Mark Coleman with his little kids. And I think the daughters made an appearance, right? Somewhere.
Yeah, they were there.
That's cool. That's really cool. So I thought that was good. That was a good column. Why were mad at the top? Why were people mad at the top of the column? I thought it was great. You're calling out college football coaches for the incredible hypocrisy and the stuff that Brian Kelly was saying, and we're talking about the transfer portal when he starts joking about, you know, signing bonuses and this and that. It's like, and you put it perfectly. You're like, okay, do these rules all apply to you guys?
Yeah. There are some people in college sports that reached out and...
And said what?
That said, you don't get it. Players moving around is bad for everyone.
Is it bad for the players?
No.
It might be bad for some. Did you fire back and say, you don't get it? This is someone in college sports?
No, it was one. It was okay. There's many people.
Yeah, you don't get it. And again, this is something I've tried to tell people. The players don't move on their own. A lot of times, they're told hit the bricks.
Yeah.
Why is that story not discussed more?
Because it's not all of them.
It is not all of them, yeah. But it is a good portion of them. There is roster reduction.
Well, and a lot of them are told to leave because we're going to buy somebody better than you, which is just, you know, that's just another. This is another reality.
Which backs your take that oftentimes coaches are held up as these poor fellas who are getting victimized by a new system. And it's like, yeah. You guys started it.
The issue is
a coaching transfer portal.
The issue is all these coaches want to be able to pay for players and bring them in. They don't want to be able to have their players be bought away from them.
Right. And I will bring it up a million times. You are paid a lot of money. You're often the highest paid employee in the state. Your job got a little more complicated. Ooh, you got to work all year like the rest of us. You don't get to fish and hunt and or go out to the mountains. I don't know where you go. It's an 11-and-a-half-month job. You're compensated for it. Yeah. You get 2 months off, Damon?
I wish.
Only a month and a half? 6 weeks?
You make $4.5 million a year?
Man.
You make $6.5 million?
See that Mario Cristobal story in Dover?
Ooh. I love that. But here's the thing. I haven't seen Cristobal be a hypocrite.
No.
His total compensation was $22.7 million in the 2022 calendar year.
Was that it?
Exactly. So the second that he comes out, you know, like, remember Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach? Where he was, the money these kids are making. I mean, my brother's a doctor. Yeah, but what about you? You're a football coach. It's just the self-importance from football coaches. Like, you're chill, okay? You might not like the system now. They'll get to something that works, hopefully, for the players, for you. I mean, it's not going to be a good thing for college football coaches that the players are employees, but too bad.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I know I do this rant all the time. I don't understand how people who are hired to be football coaches, which is, in essence, an educator, how educators at the highest level can be so inflexible and lack so much creativity.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We were kind of talking about team nicknames earlier because Utah is going to have a NHL team with the Yotes moving. I want to follow up on the Yeti. Did you hear Doug's update there? There's a soccer team named the Spokane Velocity.
Love it.
I got to look into that.
Love it.
What is loud about Spokane?
The Velocity isn't loud.
What is Velocity? Oh, it's a good point.
It's fast.
Speed.
Oh, I don't know why I said that. Yeah. Okay. Speed. Okay.
They got you thinking. We got some more text in for this new hockey team in Utah.
Yeah.
We got the Utah Sister Wives.
I don't think that'll pass.
But yeah. Get it.
Utah Pioneers.
All right.
Not bad.
And Utah Snowfall. Like the FX TV show. I thought that one was kind of good.
Yeah, I think anything with white works.
I don't know why your velocity keeps bouncing around my head as a volume. Maybe that's why.
You're old. Just can't forget what words mean.
Sometimes, yeah. Did you guys watch Roadhouse? The new one?
I got halfway through and I said, okay.
What?
What are we doing?
Jake Gyllenhaal. Who is the, was she supposed to be French? I never looked up her name. The main squeeze of Gyllenhaal.
No clue.
No.
And then Conor McGregor.
I didn't watch it. I mean, I watched Conor's scenes.
Did you watch the first one? Patrick Swayze?
No.
You never did?
No.
Oh, this is a stupid conversation.
Yes, yes, I've seen the first one.
Why didn't you like... Okay. I don't want to compare it yet. Why didn't you like this one?
It felt... His Dalton, really, there was nothing really there. Okay,
wait, Gyllenhaal's Dalton?
Yes.
Really?
His character wasn't that interesting to me.
Damon is really good on this. So because I definitely respect your opinion.
Jessica Williams, she's the woman who's like, hey, I got to protect my bar. She's the one who finds him. But what about being an ex-MMA fighter says that he knows how to be a good bouncer? I'm not saying that the skills aren't, you know, correlating there.
He cleaned the place up instantly. The two guy, he hired one guy who, you know, hit the bag. The other guy there, he sharpened his skills pretty instantly. It worked.
Yeah, and thank you.
The he two put five guys in the hospital.
The two noobs, they just automatically, oh, they're going to try to get, they just picked up fighting through osmosis.
I mean, they didn't, from they being didn't, around they didn't Dalton. Put in a, they didn't put in the classic montage scene of training.
Could have been helpful.
That they probably had it and they cut it out.
There was a lot that could have been cut out.
I liked his character. He was silent and dangerous.
He didn't pop off the screen.
Really? He was whooping people. And he's a very dangerous individual.
Wait, you said you did watch it?
I watched the whole thing.
You didn't watch it?
I did watch it.
No, he did.
I got halfway through.
Did you see? Was I in it? That's all I care about.
No, I don't think I saw
Maybe
you in the movie.
In one of the arena scenes, but I didn't look that closely.
Yeah. I was at the weigh-in scene and the arena scene.
You think you were in it?
Well, I was right there.
All right, I'll
should
look.
Be.
I'm not going to lie. Another thing, I think that guy would still be in the UFC.
Didn't he fight Jay Haran?
Yeah, he did. But here's the thing. We don't want to – don't spoil it. He lost control in a fight.
Oh.
He committed the cardinal sin of all cardinal sins.
Like the fight got stopped and he just kept going?
He's very yes. dangerous, and he doesn't seem like he could come unhinged. But if you keep messing with him, it's sort of like a Bill Bixby-esque theme back to the Hulk. Like, I'm calm. But if you anger me –
okay, the one
trouble.
Scene at the beginning where he says, hey – when he's asking the guys, you got insurance or how far away is the hospital? Okay, that was
set up a
fight.
You basically, like, you're gonna get your ass kicked, but he's being real subtle about it. Like, this is gonna be really dangerous for you, so please don't.
I would assume the fight scenes are at the beginning because it sets up
no,
that he goes to
a
bar.
The end of the movie fight scene is a great fight scene.
No, I mean the UFC scene.
You didn't watch it. That was
I didn't make it to the end. I'm sorry.
You didn't want. You gotta watch it again. I looked up from the final scene and I was like, because there's so many final fight scenes in movies. I was like. That was pretty good. And I got to say, I thought Conor McGregor's the bad guy role, like he was so over the top ridiculous that it actually made it entertaining. Because it's sort of what Conor is. And he does walk around the whole time and he's like flexed with the arms up. By the way, I don't know for a fact, but when you see guys that big and bellies rounded, you know what's happening. I mean, both were in phenomenal shape. Which might explain why they could do to each other what they did to each other. Like, you don't feel pain.
Hmm. Interesting.
Have you heard
Shane Gillis's joke about Conor McGregor?
No.
It's fantastic. By the way, Shane Gillis may be the best comedian out there right now. It's fantastic.
Very dangerous as well.
No, like he's not. Hall.
Dangerous. Is he?
Thought he got himself in trouble.
Well, he got
back.
In trouble for... Well, it was
very edgy.
Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But his joke is, he said, you can't have... Like, when you go on vacation to a place, he's talking about Australia, actually. He said it's dangerous because there's no black people there, because there's nobody there to tell the white people, like, hey, you're not cool, like, stop. He said, if that happens, that's what happened in Ireland. That's how you get a bunch of Conor McGregors running around that just think they're the coolest guy ever. Like, no, you're not.
I think you need to watch the rest of it. I don't think you're doing your job as an MMA guy by not watching
it. I watched the McGregor scenes.
And I thought his scenes were great. I thought he was funny. He's completely out of control. It's almost like he's on a lot of stuff. So, like, and then the other thing I thought of, I mean, he's very energetic. The other thing I thought of is he immediately in this role, which wasn't gigantic, is better than Ronda Rousey in the movies, in her movies.
Well, Ronda Rousey can't.
Well, that's a low blow, Steve.
That's why they scrapped the Roadhouse plan with Ronda Rousey.
Well, yeah, I thought about that last night, too, when I watched it. I'm like, what was she going to be? The bouncer?
Yeah. She can't act.
She cannot.
She had a lot of concussions.
You don't think he has?
I think that's related.
And then another thought I had is, as he's whooping ass, I'm like, poor Connor. I don't know what he's going to have in this Michael Chandler fight. I think this is so bad for him.
He's back training. What do you mean he's favored?
I think that's absurd.
So do I.
I don't care how big he is. It doesn't matter.
Fighting at 170.
And Chandler's not going to, trust me, Chandler's not going to weigh like 150. He's a truck.
He's
going to
be 170.
He's 5'5", but he's a truck.
Yeah, he'll be 170.
Well, you know who I'm rooting for.
Well, I think we should all root for Conor McGregor because it helps the sport and it sets up more mega fights, but I don't think he's going to last.
No, I was going with Michael Chandler, the father of the black community. You know.
Wait, well.
You see him turn the tables?
What was that whole thing?
That photo? It's a long-running thing. 3 years ago, I believe it was now, and I have not gone a day without making a joke about it on a text. For Black History Month, the UFC honored Michael Chandler. Because he did adopt African-American children. So they honored him at Black History Month. But this past week, Israel Adesanya picked up Chandler like a baby and said, "Turn to the tables."
I didn't see that.
It's good. It was good.
So I'll give the movie, I'll give it a 7. I bet you Rotten Tomatoes has it real low.
It has to. It can't be good. There's no way. I watched like a montage cut up of Connor scenes. It was pretty embarrassing.
Dude, it's funny.
Funny.
Good action scenes, too. Used the water well.
Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe after the draft.
54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that the original one or the new one?
That's the audience rating, and the I guess the critics rating is 60%.
That's not bad.
Not bad. We're sure that's the new one.
This is 2024 Roadhouse.
Can you look up the old one? Because I'll say this. I think it's better than the old one.
Wow.
Which I know is like a cult classic. The old one was incredibly cheesy.
I believe it's our friend Matt Eubin's favorite movie.
The villain is so over the top and silly. In the initial movie, the original. And when you go back and watch 80s movies, some of them are like the legendary cult classics. You're like, this was a little weird.
Are you telling me that the, let's say, a love story in this one was better than the original?
I don't, you know, I'd have to go back and watch the original. I don't even know who the love interest was.
The original.
Was it someone who was 80s hot?
The original was 44%, by the way.
Yeah. All right.
Also, the original had Terry Funk in it, and wrestling. Yeah,
Terry Funk was pretty good. He was a gnarly-looking dude.
Kelly Lynch?
Oh, that is good.
She was the romantic interest?
I'll say Connor. I mean, he was so puffed up, and he was vicious. Like, there was a moment where I thought he was going to nail a woman straight in the face with a golf club. I was kind of hoping he did it. I was like, that will be... way over the top.
He's just
wait,
dancing.
You forgot it was a movie? You thought it was real life?
I sort of blended it together. And I thought of that
Did
too.
Did he
I'm
know
like,
it was a movie?
I'm like, what is different about this in terms of his behavior at bars, in terms of fighting and around women?
He was like, what am I supposed to do in the scene? Like, just be at the bar, just like you are,
just
normal.
Just act normal. I asked you this the other day about Nickel and Kayla Harrison. We finally get the couple minutes to get to UFC 300 recap. What's next at 205 for Pereira? Or is he going to heavyweight?
He said he's fighting for a heavyweight title.
Yeah. He's big. What do you think he walks around at? Like
Tom Aspinall seems interested. Tom Aspinall retweeted that photo of it was a great photo of Pereira walking out of the cage and Aspinall just kind of staring at him. And you kind of see Aspinall like lit under the spotlight in the background. It's a very cool photo.
I have to check that out.
So he's kind of setting that up.
I mean, is there a better moment than getting kicked right in the groin and you're like, no.
Stop.
To the official. Like, I'm doing something here. And then he finishes in 30 seconds.
Well, Chael Sonnen said the same thing that I kind of thought at the time, that it was fairly unfair to Jamal Hill, who he's like, I just messed up. Like, all right.
Oh, he relaxed.
Took a break. And then he's like, oh, no, now you're, but wait, what? I thought we had a timeout here. What happened?
I wouldn't expect that take from Sonnen with the character he's playing now.
That's true.
Which is like, by the way, the way he acts now and the way he talks, he actually should be a movie villain.
It's true. A real life movie villain.
What was I saw the video when he was talking about Masvidal, just saying whatever. You or four people on the street, you got no show. His delivery's good. It's on him.
Oh yeah, no, I love him as a speaker.
He's great. He's always been great. But now that he's out of fighting, and he makes a joke, he's like, those steroids I was on when I fought, still on him.